Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, even though the stream doesn't work and the website hasn't been up for weeks. And I've been getting offers from, like, every other alternative network that I can name to come on their network, and I keep saying no, because it's like, look, bro, we'll get stuff sorted eventually here. I hope. If nothing gets sorted, I don't know what I'll do. I haven't thought of it. But anyway, I've got this idea, right, that everything's pretty fracked, you know? Does anybody else share this idea? Of course you do. Otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this particular broadcast, because it is pretty messed up. I've got this real aversion to anything that comes out of officialdom. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that it's a perfectly reasonable aversion to everything official. Okay? Let's take chemotherapy, for example. This from undergroundhealth.com. Scientists make another obvious discovery. Chemo causes cancer. you know, it's just that funny, isn't it? It's just like I tell people. Whatever they tell you is the exact opposite. The exact opposite. Okay? It's just not possible. Now, what I want to talk about is this article here. But if you'll excuse me, I'm extremely tired. I only just got had a couple of late nights up working, so I'm not quite with it. Don't even have a guest organized, so. Okay, so let's continue on with this article. Scientists at the Fred Hutchinson Center, Research Center. Oh, sorry. Again, can't concentrate. Scientists at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle have made a, quote, new and completely surprising discovery. Chemotherapy used to treat cancer patients can actually cause cancer. Our results indicate that damage responses in benign cells may directly contribute to enhanced tumor growth kinetics, the team wrote. This is an important blow to dangerous, ineffective cancer treatments and a good step forward for alternative medicine, i.e. natural medicine. It's not alternative. Look, does anybody know how mainstream pharmaceutical kind of medicine started? I think it was started by, like, the Rockefellers or something like that. They got into oil back in the day, and they had all this waste product that they couldn't use because it was, like, poison and caused death and contamination and stuff everywhere. And so they got into the pharmaceutical industry and put all that waste oil products into all the drugs and then just made people eat it. I'm not making it up. This is the origins of things are quite funny, you know, like Wolverine. Why did such an obvious discovery take so long? Because they get you like 50 G's, baby! Every single time you prescribe a round of freaking chemo in New Zealand, you get 50 G's. There was some dude in the United States, I think it might have been in Maryland or something, who prescribed like $30 million worth of chemotherapy to patients who didn't have cancer. It's probably good because now they still don't have cancer. No, I'll just strike that, reverse it. it's a mystery why it's taken scientists decades to discover what common sense would dictate from the beginning. Chemotherapy kills healthy cells. Well, of course, it's poison. Here's how chemotherapy works. Normally, cells divide and make exact copies of themselves, right? Exact copies. And this repeats until the necessary cells have been produced. And in cancer, cells continue reproducing again and again until there are just too many cells. These cells eventually build up into a tumor. Chemotherapy attacks reproducing cells, healthy and cancerous. Chemo doesn't discriminate. It destroys. And of course, this hasn't been a secret from medical professionals at all. just read their own website, accordingtocancer.org. Accordingtocancer.org? Yeah, like cancer wrote a book, bro, you know? Cancer just sitting down there, you know, with like a quill pen and a small candle, doing these manuscripts in the dark middle of the night. Some kind of evil, I don't know, Dracula-like fortress or something of that nature, you know, accordingtocancer.org. That's the image I get. Anyway, chemotherapy drugs cannot tell the difference between reproducing cells of normal issues, those that are replacing worn-out normal cells, and cancer cells. This means normal cells are damaged, and this results in side effects. Now, when people say side effects, you just remember one thing. Cut out the word side, and then just think, oh, it's the effects. It's the effects of the drug. Imagine for a moment that all of these quote-unquote side effects were actually planned effects that are there for a specific reason. That sounds really, really terrifying, doesn't it? Again, this is further evidence even big medicine has known just how deadly chemo is, and yet it's still the top treatment for cancer! The Australian Medical Society, or whatever they're called, I think it was in 1997, or was it somewhere around there, I think, they said chemotherapy killed 97% of their patients. Okay? I don't know of a single bioweapon that has a 97% kill rate. Mostly because bioweapons get released, and it's kind of like pick and miss whether or not you get infected. And then it's kind of pick and miss because you can do things like help your immune system and what have you. You might be able to survive the said bioweapon attack. SARS, what have you. But chemotherapy, on the other hand, there's no escape from it. That's why they managed to kill 97% of the people who go on it. They charge you 50 Gs for each round. You know. These people are evil, man. Chemotherapy is like... Okay, I'm just going to come out and say it. You know. In my opinion, chemotherapy is an evil thing. It's an evil thing. I just, you know, I'm realizing just how the controversy of that statement, just at making it, and there'll be a whole bunch of ex-cancer sufferers who survived the chemo and come out and go, oh, I'm sick of chemo, saved my life. Really? Really? Did it? Did you eat or drink while you were doing the chemo? Yeah, well, that's what saved your life more than the chemo did, lady. Shush. Jeff. Shush. Okay. What other kind of stuff do they, what other kind of stuff are they using here? Natural alternatives to chemotherapy. So here's where we go. It's a wonder why scientists continue to use such a painful, marginally effective, and potentially deadly treatment like chemotherapy when natural medicine has had cancer treatment solutions since the beginning. Since the beginning! The beginning! Since way, way back in the day. They've been curing cancer all left, right, and frickin' center. I had Rick Simpson on the show was a couple of weeks ago, I think. Yeah. Weed! Weed, man! Just get some weed oil, and you're sweet. It doesn't matter what kind of cancer it is, whether it's colon cancer, breast cancer, pancreatic, whatever. It'll suss you out. Now, of course, I'm not a medical doctor, cannot give medical advice. And you have to follow the instructions of your doctor, so says the doctors, who instruct you to follow their advice. It's just, I love the hypocrisy of it. Other people who aren't medical doctors cannot give medical advice. Only medical doctors can give medical advice because only medical doctors kill about 50% of the patients that they see. You know, it's not that they kill 50% of the patients. That's an exaggeration. But then again, thinking about it, maybe it's not. It might actually be. There's a lot of unreported cases out there. I'll say that much. All right. Now, can we talk about cancer cures? Cancer cures for a bit? It's pretty straightforward. All right. There's a whole bunch of them. All right. There's foods. Okay? If you're eating shockingly large amount of leafy green vegetables and what have you, ain't got no cancer. That happened to my friend Vapi Kupinger. She just passed away last week, but I think about 5 years ago she got cancer and then just did, you know, heaps of leafy green vegetables and what have you. And even at the age of 80 plus, she's fine. You know, beat it. Beat it down. Hands down. Leafy green vegetables out of her garden. No problem. Cancer. Gone. Vitamin B17. Alright. And vitamin C as well. These things are pretty amazing. The body, if it's got the right vitamins flowing through its system, it turns your immune system into a murderous rampage, more or less. All right, it's a viricide. Vitamin C is, at least. You put a virus in a vial. It's a vitamin C. The virus is wiped out instantly. Okay, it's what works. We had Alan Smith here in New Zealand who did a 60 minute special called. Oh, the name escapes me. What was that? Living Proof. Living Proof, yeah. And he survived swine flu. One of the worst cases New Zealand's ever seen. It's like the dude was on an ECMO machine. You couldn't even see his lungs in the X-ray. All right? And hairy cell leukemia. Gave him a couple of frickin' high doses of vitamin C. Dude's no longer on ECMO. Dude no longer has hairy cell leukemia. You can see his lungs, and he's walking around healthy as an ox. All right? Bam! Just like that. And, you know, think about this. How cheap is vitamin C? It's cheap as chips. No wonder they want to keep it out of the medical regimen. They had to fight tooth and nail in order to get Auckland Hospital to give Alan Smith intravenous vitamin C. But, like, they actually had to get Mei Wang, one of the best lawyers in the country, to force them to give... I just love the idea of getting a lawyer to force a doctor to give a patient a vitamin. if that's not like one of the most encapsulating reasons why the medical industry is full of murderers, I don't know what is. And I'm not kidding, by the way. Who was it? I think it was Dr. Bill Deagle who told me, if you have the letters MD... after your name, you are 11 times more likely to be a serial killer. Ponder that for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Next time you're going in to get your little checkup and what have you, just think for a moment. This person could quite likely be a serial killer, and I might be his next victim. He's trying to prescribe me chemotherapy. Jesus, I am going to be his next victim. You know, it's unbelievable. Now, herbs, spices, these kind of things, you know, like turmeric or rosemary, garlic, ginger, you know, just general spices and what have you. They've proven anti-cancer effects, you know. Cancer's not that hard to beat. The problem is the scumbags who cause all the frickin' cancer with all their carcinogens and the frickin' food supply never get brought to justice. And of course, all the cures get suppressed. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Truth. It's a very, very hard commodity to find. Hard won and hard earned. Sometimes with your life, sometimes with your blood. And let's think about the importance of truth. You know, think about that real, awesome word. That great word. That thing that embodies that which cannot be disproved. that which is solid, that which you can indeed build your house upon, that won't be washed away like the sands of a shore. Truth. And there's another two great words that I was thinking about late into the night when I was editing. As you do. Is this word coupling moral obligation. Oh, just listen to that again. And really, really concentrate. I mean, if you can close your eyes or something, just think about this. Moral obligation. What does it mean to you? Do you even have morals that oblige you, that compel you, that force you to do things? There's a whole lot of things that you have a moral obligation to. The truth is only one of them. You have a moral obligation to think for yourself. A moral obligation to look into things from time to time if they're important and you don't quite understand them yet. You don't have to do it all at once. But at the end of the day, you can't live your life in delusion because you resisted your moral obligation to know the truth about things. Right. Now think about this. I've got this great picture on Facebook. It's a they said, but the truth is, you know, two columns, A column, B column. First column, they said the sun will give you cancer. Second column, but the truth is, exposure to the sun generates vitamin D, which will protect you from cancer. Studies have proven this. You need exactly 30 minutes in the sun per day, minimum. Or otherwise, you start to kind of die. This is what they do with prisoners in order to punish them, is deprive them of sunlight for days and days and days and days. It absolutely destroys you. And of course, naturally, these things like the Cancer Society start pumping out sunscreen to protect you from this all-dangerous sun. They said sunscreen protects you from cancer. But the truth is, sunscreen contains chemicals that actually give your skin cancer. They've got like nanoparticles of aluminium in this, I've been led to believe. And the particles are so small that they actually make it through the pores in your skin. And so you've got aluminium in your bloodstream. That can't be good for you. Alright, it might be good for containing a can of Coke. But, you know, no longer. And I was just thinking about this the other day. Somebody told me that in the 70s, everything was in glass. You couldn't find anything in a can or in a plastic bottle, probably. But the elite want BPA and contaminants and all of this kind of stuff all in your food and drink supply. So they start having cans that are lined with BPA sealant to put in all your beer and all your beverages and what have you. And then they start giving you plastic BPA-containing bottles. Mm-hmm. So that's good for you. They're really looking out for your anti-cancer properties, and they certainly care about the huge, massive, extortionate quantity of waste that is piling up. You know, we're talking about sunscreen protects you from cancer, right? My goodness. How much landfill is there going? Right? I went to the tip the other day. I was helping the soon-to-be parents-in-law throw away a few things at the tip. It's just this massive pit with all of these people turning up trucks, trailers, varying sizes and density. As we were leaving, there was like a... It must have been like an 18-wheeler or something, man. It was huge. it was like 7 car lengths or something, easy, all full of rubbish just going into landfill. And apparently that thing runs 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And that's just one. In one particular Auckland suburb. Holy cow. Where is all this stuff? Can you see it from freaking space? How much are we polluting up this planet out there? All the while being afraid to go out in the sun. So we can see what the frack is even going on. So we can see that there's giant piles of garbage that are capable of reaching the freaking clouds being accumulated in major cities around this world every day. Every day. Where is all that stuff going? Planet's not that freaking big. You know? Can't freaking deal with this. When people talk about sustainable development, all I hear is Agenda 21. And then I think about real environmentalism. Real environmentalism says, hey, that's all toxins and chemicals and crap, and there's plenty of usable, cheap alternatives to that that don't do such damage and wreak such havoc. And the ones that are currently in now were all just put there by the elite so that they could contaminate us. And they contaminate the planet in the process. You just think about this mentality. You know, let's imagine for a moment that you were a criminal sociopath. And you had, $7 trillion. It means you literally have enough sway to make massive moves on the global board. You have enough money to bribe every politician in every parliament in the whole world forever. Just think about it. It's actually not as expensive as you think. All right? I think somebody said that Congress, they figured it would cost about maybe $30 million a year to bribe the whole of Congress. That's chip change to somebody who's got $7 trillion. All right, that's $1,000 billion. And $1 billion's $1,000 million. You're talking about just $30 million. It's nothing. You know, the whole world stitched up. What would you do? Now have a look at what these people have done. Just freaking look in any direction. I see low quality crap in every direction that I see. I see manufactured poisons and bioweapons and your comestible products. I see rubbish television. I see a dumbing down society. I see a vacuous, shallow, vain society, deprived of any real substance, deprived of any true contact with the land, the sea, with the air, and the creatures that live in all of three. That detachment from the natural realm, which we all have as a natural part of being in a city, I think is partly what's killing us. We don't see the consequences of our actions like somebody on the land would do. My sister's kind of like marrying a farmer, right? And he's a good bloke. All right, now here's the thing that's ingenious about farmers. Think about any problem that could go wrong on a farm. A farmer has to be able to fix it. Alright, doesn't matter whether it's a freaking tractor, electric fence, cows, horses, etc. Doesn't matter what kind of animal it is, he's got to know, like, basic vet stuff about it, really. They're pretty clued up people, actually. It's the whole reason why people claim that America was, like,
built on the backs of farmers? It's because farmers can take a hell of a lot on the back. You know, most people can't frickin' work 7 days a week getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to milk the cows. They can't be bothered. Farmers can. They're strong people, mate. And these are the kind of people that are being forced off the land and being forced into the cities to become domesticated, easily coerced and brainwashed slaves like the rest of us. You see? If you're a criminal psychopath, and you have $7 trillion and you can't control the world or whatever, frack. Why wouldn't you? Alright? You want to stamp out any form of independence. Anything that could ever rise to challenge you. Hey, there's people that are breeding and stuff like that. We're going to get that population under control there. Why don't we just put a whole bunch of sterilants in damn near everything everybody eats or drinks? Yeah. That'll bring that birth rate down from, I don't know, like the average of 6 or 7 kids to an average of like 1. You know? We're drowning in our own extinction here because a whole bunch of criminal psychopaths have assumed control of our supply of everything, and it's steadily stamping out the very last vestiges of any form of independence in our lives. You know? That's the last thing that will go, is people's independence. As soon as you can't go where you want to go, as soon as you got to ask somebody's permissions first, boom. You're in a police state. And there ain't no ifs or buts or maybes about it. And the thing is, it's been happening behind the scenes the whole time. It's probably happening right now. All communications. This isn't paranoia. This is admitted government documents. All communications are surveilled and kept records on. Even the phone companies in New Zealand here have to keep, I think, up to 1 year's records on every new number. Wow. So they're really... nothing you say is private, folks. Nothing. I say stop pretending that it's private. I say hello once in a while. We have stories all the time that people in various fields have told me and others about the clicks on the phones. Sometimes they even give you little signs to know that they're there, you know, to agree with something you've said. Like if you acknowledge them and compliment them and say, you know, I know that you've... you think you're helping the country by surveilling people, all right? So you know there's something good in you at least. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's a sweet dream. It's a happy day, and it is the summertime. And we're doing the old summer schedule down here, and it is nice and fabulous, and hoping to keep you all in the Northern Hemisphere. We're experiencing fog snow, otherwise known as frog, a little bit warmer. Now, more lies. They said terrorism is a major threat, but the truth is Al-Qaeda is the CIA, and your government is the major threat. Yeah, and statistically that's proven as well. You know, what's more likely to kill you? I mean, 20th century, for example. You know, your own government is far, far more likely to kill you than any other factor. Right, I was going to say something like 250 million, you know. It was a ridiculous amount of people anyway that got slaughtered by their own government in the last century. Frack me, so silly and sideways. Just think about all that death. You ever seen The Killing Fields, man? You know? It's just thousands and a million people just strewn out, just dead and rotting in these big fields. Holy cow, man! You know, could you imagine what it's like stumbling across that? That to know that human beings just executed all of these perfectly innocent people and then just left them in a field for the birds to eat? dragged them all the way over there, you know, my trucks, just piles of them, just dragging them off, you know. They empty it as though one would a truck of sand. Having that much compassion for your fellow man who you just brutally murdered. That is the state. That is the cold, calculating hand of the state. Which is connected to the wrist bone of the elite and the banking cartels and so on and so forth. Wind up dictating what your state's policy is going to wind up being. So why wouldn't they use Al-Qaeda, a little group that they created back in the 80s in order to kill the Russians in Afghanistan? I mean, why wouldn't they? Create a database and sure enough you begin to understand that, hey, if you want to get anything done in this world, you need an enormous crisis, don't you? You know? Seriously, think about it. Think of all the major decisions people have ever made, whether it be public policy or their own personal life, things that they ordinarily would not have done had there not been an enormous crisis looming ahead of them. So, it's that easy to manipulate you. The elite know about this. And they're great at causing crises. What do you need to do to cause a crisis? Frack something up monstrumentally. We're the elite. We can do that easy. I mean, just look at the planet. You know, it's just that easy for them. And then everywhere goes, oh no, there's some kind of a crisis or whatever. Oh look, look, the government who's supposed to protect us and stuff like that, or at least they teach us that in the public schools that they force us to go to, that they're there to protect us and to help us and to help us to think for ourselves and live better lives while they cane us. You know, they'll surely have some kind of a solution to this massive problem that I'm sure that they were in no way involved in orchestrating themselves, and will just wind up benefiting me, the person who's up getting fracked over by this crisis. And it won't actually just benefit them, the people who actually manufactured the crisis in the first place in order to propose the solutions. That'll never happen. That just doesn't make logical sense. Yes, that's right. That's the thinking process. Now you realize there is nothing. There is no reason at all to trust your government. Okay, if somebody's lying to you, for example, and you know that they're a liar, why would you continue to trust them when they're a known liar? There's an old saying, you can trust a thief, but you can't trust a liar. Now, I would say that our addiction to government is due to the safety factor. We think our government can keep us safe. The government can't keep you safe. All right. You want to argue with me? Here's a scenario for you. A couple of thug gang members or something, whatever, armed with knives and a pipe and a gun, bust through your front door while you and your family are sitting there watching TV, virgin your undergarments. How's the government going to help you? Here's how you could help yourself. You pull the 9mm out of the drawer and you fire a few shots. Those gang members start running like crazy. No person who's out to have a good time and torture people and what have you wants to put their own life at risk in order to do so, right? And that's statistically what happens in gun-related incidents in the United States as well. You have something like 200,000 crimes being prevented per year by somebody drawing out a gun. All right, that's rapes, that's thefts, that's murders, that's X amount of reasons why people just suddenly stop what they're doing and either run away or put their hands up and then wind up being held by the person at gunpoint until the cops arrive. Okay? Government don't save you. You save yourself if you take personal responsibility. Oh, that are you, you know, you could learn martial arts or whatever, but the thing is, it doesn't matter how good you are at martial arts if somebody else has a gun. Alright, now, in an ideal world, nobody would need to be armed. Right, nobody. But, we don't live in an ideal world. We live in one controlled by the elite. So naturally they pass gun ban laws, and soon after the gun ban laws are passed, all the murderers and thieves and rapists and what have you realise that nobody's going to shoot them, and the murder rate escalates dramatically. In every single case. Okay, if you want to argue with me on that, please provide me the statistical evidence. Provide me just one example. Just one. Just one is all I'm asking for. I've looked, I can't find it. Where a gun ban is passed and the people weren't subsequently murdered quicker or exterminated by their government. Alright? Think about that. That's what gun bans lead to in all cases that I've seen in history. And even today, people get disarmed, they start getting murdered more frequently, and then usually the government is planning to ban the guns because it doesn't want an armed uprising on its hands when it brutally takes you all over and ruthlessly exterminates you. Khmer Rouge knew that, Stalin knew that, Hitler knew that, Mao knew that. Even Edward the Longshanks, when he took over Scotland, knew that. Okay? You take the weapons off of the people that you're going to kill and enslave, because otherwise they can resist you. It's not freaking rocket science. And then people are like, oh, but there'll be all the accidents. Of course, accidents always happen. And there's ways to minimise risk. And right now we've got like draconian risk management systems. You know, you have to have a safe bolted to the floor and wall in your flat. All right? In order to have any firearms. It's over the top. Okay? I remember, you know, people in the States, they got just, you know, handguns and shoeboxes and bedside tables and all of this kind of stuff. Not New Zealand, mate. We got guns locked up good and tight and proper and what have you. You know, and most of the gun owners are just like, you know, use them for hunting or target practice or whatever. I don't understand the gun culture in New Zealand too well. I know a few people in it who have got reasonable good connections within the culture here, you know? They're all very, very overly cautious people, unsurprisingly. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Friends, countrymen, fellow slaves of the plantation, hello and welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's on American Freedom Radio. And I want to thank everybody who has donated to me ever before. And there have been lots and lots. Hundreds of people. From all over the world, from all walks of life. That have donated to this show. And, spirit of Christmas. Things being what it is. I want to thank everybody, you know, and count my blessings somewhat. It's going to be my birthday on the 29th of December as well. The worst time of the year to have a birthday, mind you. Why? Because all your friends are away on holiday. And anybody who isn't away on holiday is too wasted from Christmas or broke from Christmas. And or saving up what little money they have left and what little revelry ability for New Year's, which is only a couple of days afterwards. So it's kind of like it's right in there, right in that exact moment. That would be the worst possible birthday for any kind of merrymaking. All right. This is the This is what I've had to deal with my whole life. Like my 21st birthday. You know how when you have your 21st birthday, right, you want to do like a yard glass of beer or something. And you want to have a chair pulled up for you and you want people to tell stories about your life. I had to cook dinner for myself and I had my boss, a workmate, and a mate over. And we had dinner. I made lasagna. That was my 21st. Pretty rat shit. You know, I know. That's just sad. It's just sad. Anyway. The gratitude that I feel for everybody who's donated is just that. I guess it's just a signification that I'm doing a good job, man. You know? Am I not delivering on what I say I'm delivering at? Am I telling half-truths or anything like that? Am I not recusing myself if I turn out to be wrong? I don't think so. I think I've pretty much, you know, kept an even keel here. All right? I think I've proven myself reliable. I go extraordinary lengths to help people, usually lengths and stretches and through the middle of the night, to do like a documentary version of somebody doing a slideshow presentation in a night, which nobody else that I've ever heard of can do. They can't do it that fast. And I think that's because they've got all these really annoying PC programs. Just do it on iMovie. I mean, seriously, for frack's sake. Might be cheap and nasty, but it actually looks professional. And so quick and easy to use, and you'd never have to wait for any rendering time. Ever. Ever. My mate was telling me the other day, he's doing like a 10-minute video, okay, and it would take like an hour to render. Okay? I'll do a 10-minute video. It'll take 5 minutes to publish the video, and then upload it, okay? I mean, seriously, stop messing around with PCs if you're trying to do YouTube videos, bro. If you're trying to do documentaries or anything like that, and you're a truther, you don't got too much time on your hands, you're an activist or whatever, get a freaking Apple. I mean, it's not rocket science. You can't even play games on the damn things. What do you think you're going to wind up doing? You're going to wind up churning out work. You got all the audio editing and video editing programs you want. You got all this ability to do pictures and Skype calls and blah, 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 blah. All of these different plugins. It's like a media machine kind of thing. And what I'd really love to be able to do, eventually, once we grow the audience enough, and we can only do that with you, the listener, actually recommending people to come to the show, because I'm not spending any money on advertising. I can't afford it. You know. So you know, the more people that get brought in here, the more donations we get in. I want to be able to actually help an activist in such a way. Let's say I've got, I don't know, a couple of boxes with brand new Macs in them that I can loan to particular activists at particular times when they need a machine like that. If they've got interviews that they want to record or what have you, I can teach somebody to do all of this stuff pretty easily. Right, maybe it just takes a little bit of repetition, but it's not complicated language and what have you. It's just simple point and click, drag and drop, blah, blah, blah. It's a process rather than a huge learning experience, you know. And it's reasonably logical. So, if I could inject what I know and the equipment that I use into the life of an activist, just give it to them, maybe on loan, maybe permanently, who knows, I haven't worked that part out yet, but this is just the idea in my head anyway, then all of a sudden we've got another, you know, Vinnie Eastwood level of producing capacity out there in the hands of an activist who actually knows how to do real research and isn't just some kind of a smooth-talking salesman for people who do real research, like myself. You know, there's a difference between me and an activist in that activists are very bashful people. They're very humble, whereas I'm not. And so naturally,
I use the fact that I'm not bashful and not humble to promote them, because they don't self-promote. Whereas I believe that there's nothing shameful about shameless self-promotion, especially if by promoting Vinnie Eastwood, I actually by proxy promoting all of these other different activists and what have you that we have on the show and interview and the videos and all of that kind of stuff. That's why I stay up into the middle of the night finishing off editing projects and things like that, because I told somebody, a very dear friend of mine, Catherine Smith from the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, or whoever it might have been in that particular video's instance, that I would have it done at that particular date. It doesn't matter whether it's my Saturday, my Sunday, my work day, it doesn't matter. I make sure that it gets done. By hook or by crook, one way or the other, it does. And so these are a whole bunch of things that I want to get done. And basically, it's Christmas time. And Christmas time is very, very expensive. And I would love to be able to buy myself a Christmas present, like if what did I need? I needed got a new computer coming soon. Thank you for those people who donated, by the way, those $300 amount. They should turn up to be like $370 to ship a computer in. Right? No, actually, just to pay the tax on importing the computer. Right? That's how gouging the government is. Frick, I hate statism. Anyway, need a mixing board. Right? So you have multiple microphones. This way we'll have two computers, a multi-microphone setup, lighting, camera on a tripod, and a background LCD screen. That sounds like a pretty professional studio setup, don't you think? Could have guests in here. In fact, I have had guests in here, but the thing is we all kind of got to smush together, because we've only got like the one microphone in the middle that we've got to share. Sure, it's got like multiple channels and whatnot, so it records it just fine, but it'd be nice if everybody had their own. And I've already got a backup microphone and like a headset with a mic on it as well, so she'll be right. And there's just so many things to do to become the media. So many pieces of equipment. But the equipment's only a tool. You know, like, let's say you're an artisan and you build somebody a spectacular house, like a well-architectured house or something. And then somebody comes along and says, "Ah, that looks like crap. What kind of tools did you use?" And you go, "Oh, you use crappy, you know, tools from down the warehouse or something like that." It's like, "Ah, mate, no, you got to use these particular tools." No. The house looks amazing, bro. Shut up, okay? We got it done with the tools that we had. Just shut up. Didn't matter about what we got it. Didn't matter what we did with it. All right? Come on. At least I produced something. And this is another thing that some really doesn't I don't get it with people. You go to public meetings and protests, okay? I know a lot of people who have done this, and I've seen them around there, and they all got their cameras out or their camera phones or whatever. Hardly any of it ever goes up on the internet, right? It just, if you're going to be doing that, that sort of short-term, ha-ha-ha, whatever, I'm at a protest sort of thing, just upload it, you know. Creative Commons. So if there are worthy filmmakers out there who actually want to sift through all of this crap that people upload on YouTube and pull out certain chunks for their documentaries that they're making to illustrate points and whatnot, cool. You know, I would love a Creative Commons documentary community, where people from all over the world, activists and whatnot, upload raw interviews, raw footage of protests and things of this nature, and documentary filmmakers and what have you use it more or less as an online video archive, full of royalty-free interviews about really important information and stuff, so that people could make groundbreaking, monumental documentaries without having to pay a dime
to actually go and film or ask any of the questions themselves. Just use, like, titles in the middle or do an overdub your voice over it. You've got all the raw footage. You don't need anything else. Really? Seems like high production value, don't you think? I think so. Because we've got this this problem. People are poncy about their technology. And maybe I am to a certain extent. As far as I'm concerned, it just needs to work. I looked at the PC option, didn't work. Mac option, worked right away, son. Like a dream. Now, you have this idea that one thing's better than the other, right? And there was this girl, I think this was a couple of years ago, when I filmed at dance parties on the side to make a little bit of extra cash. She asked me what kind of video programming do I use for my editing, right? And I go, iMovie. And she goes, oh my God, you don't know what you're talking about. And I go, excuse me, how many videos have you made? And she goes, oh, I guess I was part of the crew for two short film projects that didn't win any awards. Yep. Okay. I've made 600 videos. So with all due respect, you don't know what you're talking about. This is the approach people can take, man. You can either be bitter, snobbish, and be all up yourself about shockingly small quantities of things that you've done that have had zero effect. Or you can be happy, you can be vibrant, you can be creative and problem solve so that you can create a difference out of nothing. Right? You just use what's there in front of you. All of this stuff's out there. You want to start making documentaries? You want to start making YouTube videos? Hey, you start looking for protests. You start looking for those people who have the megaphones and the microphones. You go up and you start asking them questions. Because they'll give you questions and answers that'll blow your fracking mind, man. This is what I discovered. It's like, oh my God. It's like so different from watching mainstream media. Mainstream media is like a small snippet, one sentence of this person. But then when you're talking to them, they provide context to that statement that you heard on the news. They provide examples reinforcing it. They provide evidence to contradict what the government's main line is. They go into extraordinary detail and can speak at length with no censorship. I was like, wow. That is the future of reporting. No, seriously, hear me out here, okay? I would far prefer hearing directly from an activist who does shockingly large quantities of research than I would from some douchebag reporter summing up the story in so many words with a soundbite or two. And what I want to do, and this is the guerrilla media idea, is give those resources to these activists so that they can literally become the reporters, to assume their roles online and in the street. You know? I mean, mate, if somebody walks up to you with a microphone and a camera and they're wearing a suit and they say, I'm a reporter, you treat them differently. You open up to them a little more. So this will allow the activists to infiltrate and start interviewing all of those really big, heavy, you know, honcho people at a protest. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's on American Freedom Radio. Do you know what you call a Jamaican theme tanning salon? Montana. Yeah. Yeah, it's a terrible joke. I'm sorry about that, Montana. That's all right. You know, gonna have a few crappy puns here and there, you know. Keeps life spicy. Interesting. Much like Jamaican chicken and pineapple. Anyway.
going on from my previous thread about gratitude, it occurred to me that practically my entire life has been left utterly gratitudeless. I take people for granted. No, really, seriously. I have this kind of like sense of entitlement. I mean, the fact that I do heaps of good stuff and kind of, you know, have an actual entitlement or something is actually just more the fact that I have a sense of entitlement anyway, and so I try to justify my sense of entitlement by doing good things. You know, I'm just playing mind games with myself. And but yeah. Actually, at the end of the day, I think that kind of like really stupid mind game that I've held on my place is much like those romantic comedy movies where a guy set in to sabotage a girl and then he has to lie in order to get in with her, and then he winds up breaking her heart, but then he realizes that he actually loves her and what have you, and they forgive him and then they get on with it. I just kind of like went in bold face into this movement and just said, you know, frack it, I'm gonna be me, I'm just gonna tell the truth. And if people don't like it, they're probably some kind of psychotic stalker. I mean, in that case, I'm not talking like I don't take criticism or anything. If you don't take criticism, sweet mother of mercy, goodness knows what kind of a monster you'll turn into. And so, you know, I've been told many, many times by people much older and wiser than I that I don't listen. I don't listen. And it was actually a profound realization to me, is that it's kind of like in Fight Club, talk radio is much similar to this, with the relationship between a host and a guest a lot of the time. People aren't talking, they're just waiting for their turn to speak. And this was quite a profound realization to me, because I realized that it wasn't just in talk radio that I wasn't listening to people. It was also in my real life. With everybody. Everybody. Wasn't listening to my missus. Wasn't listening to my friends. Wasn't listening to anybody. And I was like, why am I switching off? Why am I choosing not to listen to people? And then I had a couple of conversations with somebody that were really interesting, and I was listening to them right straightforward. And then it hit me. I only really listen if it's really interesting. If people are blathering, going off on the side or something, or repeating themselves and what have you, I just lose interest. You know? I'm obsessed, compelled against my will, to only have good and interesting conversations that I want to listen to. You know, maybe that's some kind of a disability in this day and age, where people don't talk about anything of value, ever. And if somebody brings it up, hey, you could criticize them and tell them to sweep it under the rug quickly as frickin' possible. How do I sweep the elephant in the room under the rug? The answer is you can't. Well, I suppose you can. And this is what my friend John Eisen told me, actually. I do listen to him, because he's very interesting. You can consistently suppress the truth. You can suppress the truth forever. And ironically, I think that's very true. There's a whole bunch of things that I've learned about, haven't actually learned, that I don't think will ever become mainstream, at least not in my lifetime. And I think that there's so many things more to learn that will, again, never become mainstream. They'll never enter into the main flow of consciousness. Most people aren't thinking this way. Right, and it occurs also about generalizations. And here's a generalization to illustrate generalizations. It's called circular reasoning. Everybody makes generalizations. Huh? How do you like that one? It's true, isn't it? everybody tries to generalize, or we're trying to put everything in a little boxes, something that's comfortable for your understanding. Heavens forbid that somebody would actually come up with a fact, an actual piece of data, that says incontrovertibly that your view is the truth or your view is a lie. Heaven forbid. Because you're just addicted to your own perception. I'll tell you what, man. You want to buzz your perception right out, try interviewing a few of these people. You know, activists, researchers, authors, filmmakers, musicians, actors, you know, the whole lot, you know. Start talking to people from all different walks of life that all have something remarkably interesting to say. I can assure you, you'll get addicted to it, as I have. And I think maybe that's the reason why I don't listen to some people entirely, perhaps. And maybe that's a bit selfish of me, but at the same time, I justify it by having the fact that they're being listened to by you, the listeners. I mean, I bring on everybody on this show, regardless of whether or not I totally enjoy their company. And I give them compliments and make them laugh, and you, the listener, get to enjoy the conversation. I think it actually becomes irrelevant in terms of talk radio, whether or not I'm listening to people. The problem I really have with me not listening is the fact that it's in my personal life as well. So it doesn't just affect me or you, the listeners. It affects everybody that I come into contact with. I mean, can you imagine? All right. If I had not caught myself doing this, and had continued not listening to people for another 10 years and didn't take a like radical look at what I'm doing, you know? Mate! I've dodged a bullet here. My sweet mother of mercy. Imagine you just woke up one day and somebody told you, you don't listen to people. And then imagine like three people actually say it to you. And then you start catching yourself doing it. And then you're like, holy cow, I'm really not listening to people. This is a problem. All right, and that's the phase that I'm going through right now. It's like, holy sweet my heavens to Murgatroyd. Oh no. It's not good. It's not good. Now, conveniently, as I said, despite the fact that maybe these last couple of years I haven't been totally listening, it's still been good talk radio, and I mean, me listening to the shows, it appears like I was kind of listening and that kind of thing. Maybe I'm just doing a little bit too much introspection here live on the radio here for a moment. Let's change the subject. All right, let's talk about truth again. You know, what people tell you is that diet products are more healthy for you. Oh, yeah. All right, what's the logic here? Oh, well, it reduces the fat and does what to it? Well, it increases the sweetness by using artificial sweeteners and everything like that. Doesn't that stuff cause cancer, mass tumors on rats or something like that? Or start causing Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease or what have you, like Michael J. Fox got after his Pepsi sponsorship, like after he did, like, Back to the Future or something? Well, is that what's healthy these days? Hey, is that what's healthy? Again, disinformation. It's everywhere. Everywhere you look. It's actually quite... I think this is why a lot of truth has become shut-ins. I think maybe I've become a bit of a shut-in. It's because when you walk outside your door, suddenly, scumbaggery is everywhere. And the thing is, you get comfortable with the scumbaggery just within your own little space and what have you, because you can deal with that, you know. It's small, it's localized, you know. It's only a little bit of scumbaggery. But, start walking out your door, and you see
scumbaggery everywhere you look. Every logo, every Thai food restaurant menu that disqualifies you for, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with it. I'm kind of feeling a bit exhausted, I'm sorry. Train of thought thing. Not working too well these days. Yeah, maybe people are right when they tell me I should be getting more sleep. You know? How important is sleep, man? Well, honestly, it's very, very drastically important is how much. I think there was a documentary. I think it was done on Australian workers, like night shifts and what have you. And you know how statistics are used to illustrate things. Even if the statistic's not true, it still sounds very interesting. And so I'm going to make up a statistic. It was something along the line, a very high percentage of lost productivity because of people's sleep deprivation. You know, doing shift work or getting up early, not going to bed early enough the night before. This kind of thing. And the amount of extra time that it takes you to move, just physically, if you haven't rested well. The amount of time it takes you to think. All of these little micro delays that happen to you when you're pretty exhausted can actually add up to quite a lot of lost productivity. And ironically, it's because we're catching up on other lost productivity. It's a vicious cycle. And I think basically I'm going to have to start getting real with the fact that I've got to go to bed early. You know, I can't stay up late editing stuff ridiculously anymore, maybe. I don't know. I'm just kind of doing a very introspective show today. Sorry about that. I guess it's kind of like when people donate to me, I sort of have this sort of obligation to be as honest as humanly possible with you. You know, to know that I'm just an ordinary dude, and I've got real strange and fanciful problems. That and everybody's got real interesting little problems of their own, you know? Psychologically, spiritually, whatever. We're all dealing with our baggage, aren't we? And so I kind of feel the need to open up. You opened up your wallets, I'll open up my heart, you know? Because, hey, I think I can't give you anything else, really. nothing more that's really valuable other than insight as to who I actually am, who I really am as a person. And I find that this is something that needs to be adopted more by radio show hosts. They need to be as real as humanly possible. That's it. I'm just trying to be real with y'all. Have some fun while we're at it, you know? I'm sick and tired of listening to mainstream talk radio in New Zealand where these people are just interrupting their guests. You know, they got somebody like Mary Byrne, who's a fluoride activist or whatever, on, just interrupts, tinfoil hat wearer. This is just disgusting. Disgusting. Because they're just fake people manning those microphones, bro. There's nothing behind the voice. They're just automaton hatchet men designed to destroy everything that is good. Everything that is the truth. Just paid mouthpieces of a deceptive criminal cabal. A little propaganda arm like the public relations face of the Coca-Cola Corporation. Saying, no, we don't sell level 6 bioweapons to people and then ask them to just water it down with municipal fluoridated, chlorinated, Giardia incorporated water. No, we don't do that at all. We'll be right back after the break at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live somewhere over the rainbow. Okay, and in fact, you would have to be somewhere over the rainbow in order to hear this live right now. And in fact, the only two people that are listening to this conversation right now is me and the board op. There is nobody else listening. like pre-recorded nightmare. All right, now, on with the lies. Annual mammograms will prevent breast cancer. Really? Really? Bathing sensitive breast tissue in radiation somehow prevents cancer. No. What it does is early detection, ladies and gentlemen. Why does it do early detection? Because they scan you once, you get cancer, and then they scan you again 6 months later to see the nice cancer that they've grown for you, and then they chop off your boob. It's pretty cut and dry. Maybe that was a bad reference to make, but yeah. Look, for goodness sake, I remember Angelina Jolie, you know, little actress that she is, chopping them both off, you know, two of these most amazing things that have ever, oh my god, just thinking about them. I'm just kidding. I'm not that much of a chauvinist. Pretty close, but anyway, she has them both cut off to prevent herself from being able to get breast cancer. Why don't you just not get mammograms and maybe eat some leafy green vegetables, woman? I mean, come on, you've got the money. You know, and what, adopting like half the known world isn't good enough for you? You know, you need to prevent yourself from getting boob cancer. You get it's incredible. Okay, it's just a mind control program to get people to say, oh, well, if Angelina did it, I'll do it. Look, if people started cutting off their ears so that they didn't have to listen to the new Justin Bieber album, I'd think about it, but I wouldn't do it, all right? You know, it's just out of control, all right? I mean, think about when you're a kid. What are you supposed to stay away from? Electrical sockets, sharp objects, hot objects. Right? And poisons under the sink, what have you. And what do they give you if you go anywhere near a doctor of any kind? They cut you up with sharp objects, insert poisons down your throat, and expose you to heat and electrical equipment. Huh. Are you saying that all of the things that we're taught as children to stay the frack away from are the things that the medical doctors are saying is good for us, even though they're like the leading cause of death? I mean, the doctors, not the electrical sockets, because people know that an electrical socket is dangerous. They don't know that a doctor is dangerous. Do they? Think about this. The person that you trust to take care of your health is actually the person who's most likely to kill you than any other factor. It's because of that trust that you place that they're able to kill you without you even knowing about it. Give you all those very comforting words and bedside manner while they slip the knife in your ribs in the dark. Another example, they said vaccines will protect you. And most vaccines contain thimerosal, mercury, that will kill you. Not just that. I'm not sure if thimerosal will just like straight up kill you. It is one of the most potent neurotoxins known to man, if not the most potent, mercury is. So, there's live, unattenuated virus, aborted fetal cells, and this is the most disgusting thing that I've found out about vaccines. I mean, like, you know when women get abortions and stuff, and you got a little baby, a little baby that's been forming inside there and what have you, they cut it open, and they harvest those little organs. And they grow viruses and bacteria on them and that kind of thing. And then they squelch out a few of those little cells of virus that they grew off the dead fetus's organs. And then they shoot it directly into your bloodstream. Holy cow. We're dealing with some incredibly sick motherfrackers here. Really? The worst of the worst. Horror movies ain't
got nothing on these people. Just think of it. The kind of future they're planning for us. For all of us. Survival will be the worst of your worries. You won't want to survive if you do. I just don't want that kind of stuff to happen. I mean, just a person who could do that kind of thing with vaccines and then lie to everybody and get them to manufacture like huge quantities of chronic diseases and what have you, so they can keep going back to their butcher, murderer, doctor the rest of their life and drain their bank accounts and eventually develop cancer because of the drugs that they gave you, and then give you chemotherapy to kill 97% of you that aren't stupid enough to actually still believe that the doctor's trying to save you. All the time, he's been leeching off you like a parasite, fostering the disease, keeping it alive, so that he can keep you alive with his drugs and his vaccines and all of these other things. I really, really, really just kind of, it sickens me to think about the medical industry. Ironic, isn't it? You know? And finally, on this list of lies here, fluoride will protect your teeth. Fluoride is a poison and it will give you cancer and kill you and cause dental fluorosis. Right? It's not just a poison. It's like an acid. Right? It's some of the most toxic substance known to man. It's unconscionable to put it. It's used as chemical weapons. Okay? Right, so if I were to tell you, here's a chemical weapon. What is it? A sarin gas. Why do you want me to take a sarin gas capsule? It'll help prevent gum disease. Really? Sarin gas prevents gum disease? Yep. Oh, okay. Are you an authority? Have you got a white lab coat and what have you? And are backed by many corrupt government agencies that give you a shockingly large amount of money to give me this information that you're selling me right here, the sarin gas is good for my gums? Yep. All right, it must be true then. Where's my freaking capsule? No, sir, this is a reasoning process. It's unbelievable. This, just these massive propaganda campaigns, deductive logic. I don't like people who have a deductive rule. A thinking process, you know, because normally they're wrong about 99% of things that are just like far outside of their meager understanding of the world, and so that's the reason why they use deductive reasoning, because their reasoning has been deducted from them. Not to say that there's not a place for it, you know, when somebody's saying something that's completely untrue or what have you, you know, sure, but often cases there'll be lots of information to explain things, like fluoride and what have you. And then they just use deductive reasoning. Oh, the government would never do that. Really, bro? Really? They did kill more people in the 20th century than any other factor? Yes, they frickin' would. They would use chemical weapons on you. They would spray sarin gas in the New York subway in order to see how it would spread. Okay? They did nuclear test on their own frickin' troops. They tested on New Zealand troops, British troops, Americans, the whole lot. You are as big an enemy as any overseas adversary that you could ever frickin' conceive of. Your state hates you and wants to kill you, and at the very least wants to use you for livestock trading as cattle for which they can survive off the sweat of our brow. That's the state. We'll see you again sometime, folks, at thevinnieeswoodshow.com. I hope you've enjoyed this little broadcast here, because I've enjoyed bringing it to you very, very much. And by all means, it's going to be Christmas, then my birthday,
then New Year's, and we're getting a new computer in here, and all new equipment and that kind of thing. So we're going to have a brand new, revamped, revitalized Vinnie Eastwood show. And most likely, at the same time, coincidentally enough, a brand new, revamped, and well-working and greased engine at AmericanFreedomRadio.com as well, which should be having its website and live streams available to you 24 hours a day. And, if I'm not mistaken, we'll have some good fun doing it too. Thank you very much.